You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now back to this amazing content.
Hello, friends. Lee Brown here, and welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I know I have said before that you're going to meet one of my favorite people, but seriously, today you're going to meet one of my favorite people, Karen Randolph. She's from Northeast Tennessee. She's an educator. She's a realtor. She's a broker. She's a child of God. She's amazing. And you're probably never going to meet somebody with a bigger heart than Karen's. And you're also going to get to talk about Ghost. I mean, so seriously, dial in, enjoy this visit, and we'll see you on the other side. So, Karen Randolph, how long have you been in real estate?
Well, I've been in real estate longer than you've been alive. I've been a realtor for 26 years.
Oh, that's right. And I'm only 25, so I'm exactly. Glad you recognize that fact.
But I have. I've been a realtor for 26, and I was one of those that came out of the gate running. I went to get my GRI because I just loved having those initials after my name. So within my first year, I had earned my GRI and I felt like I was all that in a bag of chips. I spent $900, Lee, on pens and notebooks and about everything I made the first year in real estate on promoting Karen Randolph, GRI.
But you know, that was when you got your GRI, and for people who aren't in real estate, that's graduate of the Realtor Institute. So it's a ton of classes, and it essentially builds a foundation for how you actually service clients in real estate, because you do not learn that in licensing class. It's got to come after that fact. But in the 26 year ago time frame, we didn't have Facebook. We didn't have LinkedIn groups. There was no place to get education except for the classroom. And that was the gold standard for getting people started. So it was smart for you to go advertise those initials because it meant something to your peers. And frankly, the public's never known what it's meant. They just saw some initials and said, well, you must be smarter than the other ones because you have some letters. But then it does progress past that to what do you do with these educational moments and how do you convey to the public? So did you ever get a plan in place for letting the people around you know what that meant? Or did you just stick it to your name and roll on?
Oh, I stuck it to my name and every opportunity that I got to promote it. Oh, I did. And that first year I earned the Outstanding Rookie Award at NETAR. And so, you know, people had no clue what it meant, but I tried to make it sound like Major League Baseball. Every time I rolled up in there, I am a rookie on fire. I win. I've got my education. I got credentials behind my name. I am a winner, winner, chicken dinner. And the first listing I got, I actually ended up mowing their yard. How pathetic. But when you think about the things that, no, I know. But when they called to tell me that I won, I was like, you've got to be kidding. Because I saw my competition, because I stalked the house, right? I drove by it. I saw my competition coming out. And she at that time was well into her 30 years as a veteran in this industry. And she was good. And I thought, oh my gosh, you're not going to have a snowball's chance in getting this. So I was so overprepared and underconfident. That's where I was.
Overprepared and underconfident. How many realtors do you think that applies to in 2021?
Well, just depends, because everybody I talk to lately, just getting into real estate, they are super confident.
And maybe not as prepared as they had ought to be, because there's an assumption that the internet can tell people how to price a house and HGTV tells them how to get ready, and they forget that there's a missing critical component in there, which is the personality and the care that comes from a realtor neighbor. All right. So before we go too far down that rabbit hole, because that rabbit hole could take us days, I want to know, in your years in real estate, Karen, because that's why people come to this podcast, frankly. They come here to listen to stories. They want to meet great people around the country, around the world. 26 years in Tennessee, in Northeast Tennessee, you have seen some things that you never thought you were going to see. So I'm dying to know the crazy things that Karen has seen in the course of conducting professional real estate.
Well, I'm so glad you asked. So this morning, I was like, what are you going to talk about? And my mind went right to naked and scared, or scared, as I want, scared and naked.
Scared. You know.
Scared and naked. You know, I've been in properties before that were stigmatized. Let's just call them stigmatized. And we quickly found out, Lee, one of the properties that I, and of course, you know, we'll talk a little bit about some supernatural stuff, because we believe in some things. In East Tennessee, we certainly believe in a lot of things. But when, as I was rolling into a property, I was showing to an individual, and I did not know the history of the home. So we walk into the property. I'm in the kitchen, and I am struggling with the ability to breathe. I'm like, okay, I know I'm not that out of shape. We did not climb steps. We came straight into this property. And so we're walking around, and I had to excuse myself from the home. Now I'm showing the property to a young gentleman, and he continues to look. I go outside and I tell him, I don't know what happened. First, I thought, well, you know, are you having a stroke? What's happening to you? So I went outside. I was able to catch my breath. Everything was fine. I go to the office and I'm like, hey, this property, told him the address. I'm like, there's something going on there. There's some juju in there I didn't recognize. I did not have the ability to breathe in this home. And what I found out was the mom, and it's a sad story and it's a tragedy. The mom had taken her three children and put them in the car in the garage, and carbon monoxide poisoned.
No.
Oh, sissy, I know this is a terrible story, but this is what happened. The mom and the child did not survive. Two children did. All right. So I'm like, I could not breathe in this home. And are we going to air this? This is a terrible story to be sharing this early. But 15 years later, I'm teaching, and I'm in Bristol, Tennessee. We're talking about stigmatized properties. And what I found out was that there were several females that had shown that property that experienced the exact same thing, could not breathe. And there were men in the room. There was one man said, I showed it. I didn't have any trouble. So it was something. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, okay.
Of course you did.
Right. Of course, yeah, you're not owning it. But that was probably one of the wonkiest things as far as experience. Now, we've dealt, and I know we've all, as professionals, we've dealt with all different kinds of personalities. And just this weekend, I had enough material that we could have kept you occupied, sister, for a very long time.
But that is, the personalities is, that's different than dealing with the, I mean, it is a supernatural. You can call it whatever you want. Right. So if y'all are listeners or viewers and you don't understand that Satan's at work in the world, let me just tell you, Satan's at work in the world. And God and Satan have this thing going on. You should read about it in the Bible, because it's right there. But when you look at this, the reality of real estate is wild, because the public thinks that we as realtors should have to tell all these stories about a house, that we should know that a woman did this to her children that she was entrusted with, and we should tell about the house. But state law doesn't require us to tell about all of these things, because first of all, you wouldn't know all of the weird things that have happened in any house. But second of all, like in North Carolina, you don't have to disclose a death that's taken place in a house.
Same in Tennessee.
And I understand why, because there are members of the public that would never walk into that house because they would assume something supernatural or weird was going on in there, and that could hurt the seller, could hurt the buyer, could hurt the neighborhood. It's wild, but let's just figure this out. So did your buyer move forward on this house? Did he feel any of that weird aura, nothing?
Nothing. And I know that he thought something was going on with me because I never did reconnect. I didn't go into the, it was years later that we found out the whole story, everything that had transpired in the home.
Oh, so at the time of the showing, all you knew was that you had that weird pressure, yes, couldn't breathe. And it, yes, was, you didn't know about the death for some time. Or the murder.
No.
Murder and the death.
Yeah, we didn't know about that. But the wildest thing was to be telling the same story in a classroom setting, and then other realtors was, hey, that happened to me. I know which property you're talking about. And then they went straight to the address. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So we know that there's some things. I had another instance happen, and is it okay to talk about it too? It is.
I think you totally should.
I think I should. So I go to a listing opportunity, and what I later found out was the previous seller had painted the hardwood floors, painted with an exterior paint. And I don't know about the fumes and all those kinds of things. But anyway, this older couple had moved into the home, and she called me out for coffee and to talk to her about the listing. And I'm sitting there, and we're drinking coffee, and we're just being charming and loving and accommodating selves. All realtors are. And I'm sitting there, and she goes, you know, the reason we're wanting to sell this home, Karen, is we're seeing the previous owner shows up quite frequently. I'm like, oh, does he just come visit, like knock on the door, come in, that kind of thing? Does he show up for coffee? What's up? And she says, oh, no, he's deceased.
Because of course he is.
Of course he is. And I'm like, you know, where's my gun? Oh, well, it wouldn't matter. They're dead anyway, right? It's not going to hurt anybody. So I'm like, okay, well, tell me more. Because you don't want to just grab all of your toys and go home, right? It's like, yeah, please, Lord, make sure it didn't come in the car with me. But she's telling me he shows up every morning for coffee. And I'm like, okay, we're having coffee. So do you see him now? And I'm looking around, like trying to make her feel comfortable in her story. And I'm like, do you see him now? And she's like, no. I said, well, does he sit down? I'm asking questions because I'm intrigued. And she's like, yes, he usually sits down. And I stood up. I said, have I got his chair? Am I in his seat? And she's like, oh, no, you're fine. But every time I went to that property, I was looking for a little something. Just make sure. You felt like someone was watching you. Oh, they could have been.
So was she just matter of fact about it? Like
extremely matter of fact.
Just the thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like the walls are green. It was like, okay. He shows up.
But this leads us to the public, right? So as realtors and as licensees, we are entrusted with the public's best interests, and we're charged with consumer protection. So the question often comes up, shouldn't you tell a prospective buyer that the seller thinks the dead owner hangs out in the house? What do you think, Karen? Do you think that this is something that should be disclosed, or do we just let it go under the rug? Because we know that if you watch any of the programs on Bravo and HGTV and whatever all channels have those ghost hunting shows on them, there's a whole segment of the population that is 100% convinced that ghosts are everywhere. And there's equally large segment that thinks the other segment's completely crazy. So do you think that as an agent, we should have to tell if a seller tells us a story like that?
I think that it would come down to, would it matter? Does it matter? And what you say matters, right? And so we get into all of that. I did disclose because I knew. A lot of times I don't know, so I don't say because I don't have that information. But I did disclose that to the seller or to the buyers and to the realtors. I disclosed it to the realtors. When they were scheduling appointments for showing, I would say, listen, I don't know if there's any truth to it. I just want to let you know what's being said. Because we've had instances where people have moved into properties and they experienced a little something, something, and no one knew what was really happening there. So if I would want to know it, I'm telling it. That's something that I would want to know. Now, listen, I did not show that property. When a buyer would call and say, I'm interested in looking, I'd say, well, you know what? I've got about 14 realtors ready to show it.
And I will have one of them set up a time with you at your convenience and y'all can look at this property.
I am representing the seller from a distance.
Did it sell?
It did.
And was the buyer somebody interested in the other occupants of the house? Was it somebody thought the ghosts were a premium?
No. And see, you get that too. So we've listed homes by graveyards and they're like, oh, take me. Halloween. We had an open house on Halloween, you know, so you know, kinds of things just to try to overcome a negative. But no, the buyer showed up and he never saw the previous owner. They may have taken him with them. I don't know. He may have loaded up on a stick of furniture and went down the road where they moved to. Who knows?
Or maybe he went on back to the grave and he was satisfied because he was just maybe friendly with that one lady because she offered him a cup of coffee.
Maybe so. Or she was the only one that saw him and talked to him. And I thought, you know, it could be the fumes. Oh, I don't know. It could be all kinds of things. But we've personally experienced it. We didn't see anything, but we have felt something. We have heard a few things. You know, I just thought it would be kind of fun to talk about that today because I listened to some of your podcasts. I don't think anybody's ever delved into this. So I wanted to be original.
It's kind of shocking, actually, because I think it's in every marketplace. There are properties with extra inhabitants, and we should probably talk about that more. But before I let you off the podcast, all right, so I'm going to ask you a question that is probably a little bit on the personal side, but I know that you are pretty much an oversharer on social media anyway. So in the last couple of years, you have been through some major health crisis. And you've experienced realtor life in a way that the public rarely sees because they see realtors as competitive and cutthroat and they're always number one. And you're somebody who's poured your heart and soul into educating other realtors. You volunteer, you do everything you can to make other people better. But as you've gone through your health crisis, you saw realtors from a different side altogether. So I'd love for you to say what you discovered about who realtors are based on what you've been through as you've been to the brink of death basically a couple of times here in the last couple of years.
Oh, I got that question. Thank you for letting me answer and give me just a second.
I will, because this is the best part of you is the vulnerable side of you that's not trying to be the perfect educator. Because I don't know that you knew how much you were loved in realtor world mm-hmm. until you had this cancer thrust upon you.
I had no clue, Lee. I grew up with a mean brother. Let me just say that. So love was commodity. No, I'm just kidding. I love him to pieces. But my realtor family were amazing. They were such a strong support as I was walking through this. And I had recently, in January of last year, I was recently moved. Oh, I don't want to say promoted, but they tell me I was promoted to being a broker of an office. And I knew I took the job in December. At the end of December, we tested again with all the scans, and it showed a third battle for cancer that we're getting ready to walk through. And I knew in January, as I started that job, that we were going to be fighting another battle. And I'll just tell you, I tried to do any kind of alternative drug because I knew chemo. I'd already had 60 radiation treatments. Okay. So if there's a glow about me today, it is from the radiation. Yeah. But we had 60 radiation treatments and it wasn't going to help this time. So it was a chemo. I had to go to the joint. That's why I called it the chemo joint. But I did try an alternative drug. Let me just tell you this. I did try fenbendazole. It is a dewormer for pets that has been known. I know, isn't it crazy? I didn't care. I thought, you know, sometimes worms can cause cancer, apparently, but it's been healing people across the nation. I mean, there's testimonials to dewormer.
I don't even know what to say about a deworming cure for cancer, but carry on.
I will. This is so interesting. MD Anderson. Okay. So some powerhouses when we think about cancer treatments. Centers, but I tried that. So in May is when we rolled into chemo, but when they knew that's where I was going, and we were in the middle of COVID, so you know there was no touching and no hugging and none of that. But my crew came through with a parade. They did a drive-by parade, and we had over 100 people with their families. You know, they showed up. They had big signs that's like, you know, fight like a girl and kick cancer in the ASS, you know, all kinds of signs that were going down my road, and they were driving and they were honking their horns, and my neighbors were coming out. And three of my neighbors come to my home and said, "We didn't even know that you had been diagnosed into the next battle." I'm like, "It's all good." But they did that. And this is what I saw. They were calling Lee, I had cards every single day. And Tracy Crum was admin at the time, and she made sure those realtors wrote me a card for every single day. I felt like I was on the Emmaus walk all over again, except it was for chemo.
Right?
Yeah, but it was for a whole different thing. But they wrote a card of love every single day, and I've saved those cards. I kept them, but they were encouraging, and they were always bringing me food. And, you know, of course, you know, you couldn't really eat. You didn't really want anything to eat, but they were always bringing food to my door. They were sending flowers. I got more flowers from realtors and cookies. I was like, that's probably what got me in this mess, but I'll take another one. You know, but they were, and it was just like, they were just constantly reaching out. Hey, can I take you? They were bringing food to the chemo joint, because I call it that because of my sense of humor. I guess when you're in jail, you're like, what are you in here for? And so that's what we'd be saying when we'd be parked beside someone all day, and people were coming and going. I was in that treatment center for 24 full days, and I was there from 8 o'clock to 5:30 and 6 o'clock at times. We learned how to speed up process a little bit, and I negotiated the Benadryl drop because I worked every single day while I was in there, and my head was bald. And you know what? The people accepted me. When I walked in, they made me feel like bald was beautiful. And it just made me love more. And Lee, I know that you were one of those people praying for me. I know you were. Eric Kistler is like, well, you ought to hear Lee Brown pray because she just got done praying for you. And he drove all the way to Johns Hopkins just to check on me. And it's just like, wow. You just don't have a clue. And it's the one thing that I strive to give people is love. It is. And to get it returned like a thousandfold was so, it was one of the, I can't even explain it. I felt like I had arrived to the platform of you gave it, now you're getting it when you need it the most. And even to this day, my crew's still like, Mama, can we go get you something? You know, because it was so crazy. I wanted all the food that I ate as a child, you know, chicken livers. I know that sounds yuck, but I had a hankering for chicken livers and pinto beans and cornbread and all that stuff. And today, I mean, they still serve me with such great love that it's like, why would you want to do anything else or go anywhere else? This is your tribe. This is your tribe.
It really is an unsung story about real estate, because the people who survive real estate, and I say that because to you listeners and viewers out there, 85% of realtors give up within the first 2 years. They try it. They find out it's hard. They get out. But the ones that stay in, they have a real deep-seated desire to take care of the people in their community through real estate. And if you're the person who dials into the realtor community, you find out this is exactly what it looks like. There's none of this ugliness, the cutthroat behavior, the stuff that you hear about realtors in the mainstream media and in Hollywood is not who realtors are. They are people who volunteer and give back and feed each other, and they care for each other, knowing that their time might, and even if it doesn't, they're just wired to care and give. And I love that you, who have given your entire self to so many people for all these years, were strong enough to say, I will accept the love back. Because there's a lot of people out there that say, I don't need it. I don't need any help. I've got it. They want to be completely self-sufficient. But a time comes in your life when you lean into your community because your community wants the opportunity to give back. So I just love how you share your journey with all these people around you, and you show that real estate is that odd profession that you can still conduct the work while you're sick. You can conduct the work while your competitors take care of you. And there's definitely the abundance out there that we can all be taking care of. So I had to bring that up because I admire you so much for, well, first of all, your life. So we're grateful that God kept you here for more things, because he's got purposes. And I just want the world to know that realtors are more than what you see in the popular culture. And you need to get to know your local realtors. And if you're Absolutely. A realtor who's watching this or listening to this, if you are not volunteering and are not involved with your association, you're really, really missing out on the relationships that can help you become a better realtor and also, frankly, be a better human. So anyway, Karen, if somebody's looking for an amazing realtor in Northeast Tennessee and they're trying to figure out how they can be a better broker, or they want to take your classes, or they just want to get to know you, how can they find you best?
Well, I can give you my digits. Lee, my real job.
We're so hip and cool. I'll give you my deets.
My real job, my primary, is taking care of my office, right? And managing. We've got almost 90 agents in our office. So that's my primary. Secondary is still serving those people that I've loved along the way that are sending referrals and repeats, you know, that kind of thing. But teaching is truly like the third leg of what I get to do. And I've not gone out and started my own school or anything like that. I just kind of float and do this when I get the opportunity to do it. So, but if you're looking for someone that's going to tell you the truth, be gentle, and love you through it, because that's kind of where we are, and you need some training, hey, and you know what? We get to teach together at Tennessee Realtors and at our convention. We get to do a little something there together. So, but anyway, I'm at Northeast Tennessee Association of Realtors, and that's where I do most of my teaching. I should have brought some Kleenexes in here to catch those.
It's okay.
Tears.
The video is not showing any drips.
And so good.
You're very
good.
Well on camera.
I can just let it fly then.
It's a good filter.
But I do. I teach primarily for my local association, and then for East Tennessee. I'm as far as west as I've been is Clarksville. So, but I'm usually local associations, and I love it. I love trying to keep my realtor family out of trouble, because that's the platform. So I teach a lot of rules and regs, and then the code of ethics and things of that nature, just things that you have to be a sustaining realtor in this business.
And because Karen's not giving y'all her digits or any of her stuff, don't worry. I've got all her contact information is in the show notes for this episode, including her social handles, so you can connect with her online and pray for her and support her in her journey, and also learn from her and enjoy some of that enthusiasm that she so willingly shares with all of us. So Karen, thank you for coming on the podcast and for getting introduced to a lot of people who didn't even know they needed you in their life, but now they do.
Oh, it's so good. I look forward to meeting them. Thank you, Lee.
I love you, and I hope your hair hangs in there, and I hope the waves hang in there, because yay for waves. We're grateful for all the gifts that the Lord provides.
Yes.
And we know that his will be done, and as long as we're good with that, we're in good shape.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love you big.
All right, friends. you've just met one of the finest people in real estate, you should make sure you click subscribe. You should click 5 stars. You should go follow all of Karen's stuff, and then we'll see you next time around.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.